Blog Talk Radio.
Not a second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another second or another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before, to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in me. I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. Be strong. The feelings of guilt, hurt, shame, and defeat, the ways of trials that beat upon me. But to know, Lord, that in you I've got victory. I need you. Not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day. Oh, oh, Lord. Please make a way. Oh, Lord. Oh,
good morning, good morning. Welcome to Worldwide Gospel Connection. It is Women's Day, Thursday. First, give honor to God, who's the head of our life. How are you guys doing this morning? Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let me get the scripture together. The scripture for this morning is 1 Timothy 4 and 4 and 5. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Remember this, 1 Timothy 4, 4 through 5. Remember, the number is 563 888-999-3628. Press 1 to speak or if you need prayer.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. We are the host, Pastor Donnell, and co-pastor Kashima Douglas. We're here to inspire, encourage, and strengthen you through the Word of God. Listen, guys, it is Thanksgiving, and it is Women's Day Thursday. We want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody this morning, as well as those, as our Canada listeners say, happy Harvest Day. Today is Harvest Day in Canada, so we want to say happy Harvest Day to our Canada listeners out there. We thank you guys so much for tuning in and being a part of the broadcast on this morning. We're just excited about what God is getting ready to do in this hour. We have a fantastic woman of God that's going to be coming on here next. But listen, before we go any further, let us go into effectual, fervent prayer and talk to the Lord for a moment. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you, oh God. God, as your willing servant on this morning. God, we pray today, God, that something is said. Maybe a song is prayed. God, maybe it's something that is prayed for the folks on this morning, God, that will encourage, empower, and strengthen them on this morning. God, we thank you, we glorify you, and we magnify your mighty and rich name, for we know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Father, we pray today those that are under the sound of our voices this morning, God, no matter what their condition or circumstance may be, God, that you would speak into their hearts today. God, remove the noisome pestilence in their ears. Silence the chaos in their mind. God, remove anything that is hardening their heart, God, that they not receive you on this morning. God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the mighty and rich name of Jesus do we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, guys, welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection, and we want to make sure that we acknowledge the countries that are listening in to us this morning. We have the United States, we have Canada, we have Brazil, we have Ghana, we have Guyana, we have Nigeria, we have Kenya, we have Zimbabwe, we have South Africa, we have Jamaica, Germany, Saudi Arabia, China, and we have Hong Kong. Thank you guys so much again for being a part of the family on today. We just love when you guys join in and be a part of our day. And we thank you for yielding your first fruit, which is your praise, your worship, and sharing in the walk in the Word of God with us on this morning. And we want to make sure that our listeners overseas, we want to let you guys know that we are praying for you constantly. We're always interceding and calling on the name of the Lord for you, because we realize that your job and your assignment is a tough job and a tough assignment, being in another country preaching the name of Jesus with the other religions that are out there. And we do realize that your assignment is great. So when we're constantly praying for you, we want you to know that the Lord is with you, and we're with you, and we're praying for you that God move by his power and by his strength. Now, this morning our PSA is going to come from Colossians 3:15 and 16, and it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in you, in your heart, seeing a multitude of one body. You were called to peace and be thankful. And what you do, whether in words or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, this morning, I just want to share with you guys this PSA. Today is just a good day just to be thankful. We're in the season of Thanksgiving. We're on Thanksgiving Day. It's the season of Thanksgiving. We're in November and then December. Right behind December is Christmas, and right behind Christmas is New Year's. We have to have the mindset and the mentality of just being thankful. You know, there is a great work that God is doing in our life, but we have to reach to the point to where we understand that even though our trials and our tribulations, our heartaches and our pains, our ins and our outs, our ups and our downs, our in-between days, we still have to be grateful. The Bible tells us like this. He said, all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning our life. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes friends, sometimes family, sometimes frenemies, we're going to go through what we go through in this life, but we have to realize also that God is working some things out for us. He has his hand on our life, and he is doing something great and fantastic in our life. But we have to look at where we can't look at where we are. We're looking at a situation and a circumstance that, watch this here, that God has complete and total control over. He said that he knows his thoughts toward us. They are good and not of evil to bring us to our expected end. Our job in that, ladies and gentlemen, is just to do the one particular, this one important thing, this one very important thing, and that is be thankful. Be thankful. Thanksgiving. Give thanks for this is the will of God concerning your life. God has already put into place and into plan and into orchestrating all that he has to do. He's already put that into position. Only thing we have to do is stay in our place and stay in position and look toward the hills which come in our help, and our help comes from the Lord. Yeah, I know it's hard. I know that the trials and tribulations that we experience, the things that we go through, the heartache and the pain, the disappointments, the letdowns, the turndowns, all that goes on in our life. And I realize that. I understand that. But watch this here. When we learn how to be thankful, we make room for God to pour into our life. Watch this here. What child do you know? What child do you know? What child do you know that is on this earth that's a parent, as a parent, that when that child comes to you, he's never grateful or he's never thankful that you would just continually bless him or you will continually do for him outside of the normal parenting things that you would do? If your child is not grateful, you're not going to respond to them in the way that you respond to a grateful child. Because watch this here. This is the same mentality that God had, that we should have toward God. If we want God to move, we have to have the mentality of, okay, God, I'm just grateful. Start to think on the goodness of the Lord. Only thing you got to do is just start thinking about where he done brought you from. Think about the things that he's done for you in the past. Think about how he's moved mountains before. Think how he's encouraged your heart before. Think about how he builds you up before. Think about how many times you done failed and made mistakes and made errors in your life, but he was still right there with you. That's enough right there to be thankful. Let me help you real quick. You woke up this morning, somebody didn't make it. Come on here, let me help you. Let me bless you to your breastplate. You got aches and pains in your body. It's got somebody that's paralyzed from the neck, from their waist down, from the neck down. They can't feel nothing, but you feeling aches and pains. I thank God for every ache and every pain that I got, because I understand that it could be to the point to where that somebody could be pushing me around. Come on here. Come here, I can have one of them motorized scooters riding around. I thank God that God had opened up the way for me to be able to just be thankful. My mindset this morning is thank you, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done. Not just because it's Thanksgiving. I done posted it on my Facebook page. It's not just because it's Thanksgiving. I'm just grateful. Come on here. I'm grateful that God has shown up and did it again. He done woke me up this morning, closed me in my right mind, and I have the activity of my limb. I'm able to raise my hands and say, thank you, Lord. I am just grateful on this morning that God has done it again. And listen, you keep on pressing. No matter where you find yourself at this morning, keep on pressing. Press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Press past that stuff. Don't let them folk get all up under your skin. Don't let them folk get all up under your into your praise. Don't let them crush your praise. Don't let them come for your praise. You keep on praising God. You keep on thanking God. Because at the end of the day, when you praise God and thank God, that's the only thing that matters anyway. Because he will move by his power. He told us in his word, he said he inhabits the praises of his people. When you get the mentality that I'm going to praise God in the midst of all of what I'm going through, God will show up. Oh, I didn't see him do it before. I didn't see him do it with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I didn't see him do it with David. I didn't see him do it with Elijah. I didn't see him do it with Joseph. But wait a minute, I done seen him deal with my life. You can go through the lives of people in your life that you done seen it and thank God and saw how God just moved some things around in their life. because they will praise God instead of being in a place where they're not grateful. Thank God for what he is. Thank God for who he is, and thank God for what he's doing right now. Amen. That's my PSA for this morning. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. We love you so much. And listen, we're going to take a quick musical break, and we'll be right back. And remember, guys, you're listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Against your home, the enemy came up against your children, the enemy came up against your name, the enemy came up against your character. You will win, win, you will. Came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will.
question is, can you win? I came to tell somebody up in here tonight that there is something on the inside of you that's going to help you win in this season, and it's called a champion. You ought to open up your mouth and shout, I am a champion. Everything attached to you wins. I said everything attached to you wins. Can you point to your neighbor and tell them everything attached to you wins? Come on, let's just tell them everything attached to you wins. Now just tell them, say it's your winning season.
It's your winning season.
It's your winning season. You've got God to carry you.
It's your winning season.
I realize that you can't say you are a winner but look defeated. I need you to get up out of your seat and high five 10 people across this room. Don't just stay at your row, tell them across the room that you will win. Come on, high five 10 people and tell them you will win. You will win. God don't birth failures. God don't call you defeated. You are a winner.
Highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I
I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody, nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. Body great, body greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Search all over.
Search all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody great,
nobody greater than you.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater, nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater, nobody greater. Nobody greater,
nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater,
nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody,
nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you,
nobody greater than you.
I dare you lift your hand and say they with us tonight. Come on, nobody greater,
nobody greater.
Nobody greater,
nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you. Nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody greater than you, God.
Nobody greater.
Oh.
Nobody greater.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back. It is Women's Day Thursday, and we have no other than Miss Minister Hill coming on this morning, a powerhouse for God. Woman of God, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, ready. Well, the floor is yours. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you again for coming on and giving what thus saith the Lord to his people. We are excited. And the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Amen. I'm excited. I truly thank you and Pastor Douglas for this opportunity. I thank God for this opportunity. So let me go ahead and go pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning, Lord God. I thank you for this Thanksgiving morning, Lord God. A day, Lord God, not only today, but every day to give you thanks, Lord God, to be grateful, Lord God. Father God, I decree Shekinah, Lord God, and I increase you, Lord God. Hide me behind your cross, Lord God, that the words, Lord God, that's on the tablet of my heart, Lord God, and the words in your Bible, Lord God, will touch, Lord God, someone's heart, Lord God, that will give them, Lord God, increased faith, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I ask, Lord God, that, Lord God, you speak, Lord God, that you do, Lord God, for you are magnificent. You're omnipresent. You're omnipotent. You're omniscient, oh God, and we worship you, Father God. We call you Adonai. We call you Emmanuel, Lord God, and we love on you this morning, Father God. Now have your way, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Amen. So I want to come from this point of scripture. It's Genesis 18. And then I'm going to go over to chapter 21. The Father has been dealing with me concerning the hard case, what looks like that is impossible. So for a reference point, I want to use this called the hard case versus the promise. Is anything too hard for God? So the word of the Lord says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre. And as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day, so he lifted up his eyes and looked. He looked, And behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. And he bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, I have now found favor in your sight. Do not pass me by, your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and nest yourself under the tree. I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your heart. After that, may pass by and such as you come to your servant. They said, do as you said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, and gave it to the young man. And as he hastened to prepare it, so he took butter and milk and calf, and which he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? Here in the tent. And as he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, Sarah, and she shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And she said, no, but you did. And the Lord said, but you know, you did laugh. And then the men arose from where they looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went there and sent them on their way. And then I want to just go briefly over to chapter 21 and read 1 through 7. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, when he was 8 years old, and God commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. All who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who has said to Abraham and Sarah will nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the Spirit of the Lord has been dealing with me concerning the hard case. And when you think of something, the hard case, you think of something that is impossible or what is seemingly impossible. We look at what's going on in the world. We see calamity. We see depression. We see famine. We see lack of supplies. We see brethren against brethren. We see confusion with politics, which what looks like the seemingly hard case. We see the circumstances that go on in our lives, and we look at it as what can surely come out of this. We receive words of prophecy, and we haven't seen the manifestation yet. We have seen things like things going on in the midst of the storm, and we say, Lord, where is the promise? Where is the thing that you have promised me? What this thing that is going on seems hard. It seems like my bills are due, my money is funny, and the promise is delayed or overdue, and we begin to get frustrated in that place. So when you look at the hard case, you look at it as a place of something frustrating you, and then you begin to lose sight. And when you lose sight is that you begin to waver in your faith. So what has caused us to lose sight? We have prayed, and we have prayed, and we still haven't seen the manifestation. Many of us are intercessors or prophetic intercessors, and we all should be. And we have went to the courtroom of heaven. And so what do we understand about the courtroom of heaven? It's a place where we access God by prayers and petitions. And we have prayed and prayed, and we know, we do understand the realms of prayer. We know that approaching God as a father, according to Luke 11, we do understand approaching God as a friend. We do understand as approaching God as a judge.
And we do understand the way the court system works, whether in the natural or the spiritual. We do understand that it's order that is established in the courtroom of heaven. We do understand that the supreme judge is God Almighty, and he's also the great chief intercessor. We understand how everything operates, just like in the natural, the bailiff. We understand that the host of heaven. We understand that God is the triune God. We understand these things. We understand that there is wisdom and fresh manna in the courtroom of heaven. And the thing about it is we have gotten the verdict in the courtroom of heaven, and the gavel has went down in the courtroom of heaven, and the chief judge and the chief intercessor and all have made this decree, and the gavel has went down saying that the promises is still yours. We understand that once the gavel goes down, it is so. It is so. So whatever the enemy has done, we understand that a cease and desist order is placed against him, because what God has said is so for our lives. But we begin to get complacent in the waiting process. And when you look at the word impossible, you see it refers to something not able to occur or exist or to be done. And then when you look at the word appointed time, you see that it's basically it's an appointment. It's an expected or assigned time. So we see that Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For still the vision awaits, and in the appointed time it hastens to end and will not lie. It seems slow, but wait for it, and it will surely come and not delay." So we have to understand that God is not slow to his promises. His promises shall surely come to manifestation. And we have to look at the word, the kairos moment, the kairos time. It's in the ancient Greek, it is saying, meaning the right time, the critical time, or the opportune time. So we need to be, let's be real with ourselves. We don't like waiting. We don't like waiting for the appointed time. Waiting, we don't like to sit there and wait. You can even see during the pandemic how they told us to wait, to be at our homes. But many people still wanted to go out. They don't like the waiting time. They don't like, they didn't look beyond what is going on, the wait, because they see that things are spreading, the COVID is spreading, but if they just wait, the things will begin to die down. They don't like the waiting process. And what we see in Sarah's, in prior scriptures, we see like the harsh case was that she wanted to handle it on her own. Oftentimes, when you want to handle it on your own, it becomes not only weighty, W-H-E-I-G-H-T, because she didn't want to do is wait, W-A-I-T. So we have to wait in the promise of God. We see that Sarah tried to expedite the process. And when I mean expedite the process, I mean try to speed up the process. And when I mean that, if you read back in prior scriptures, she took Hagar, her maidservant, and ended up with issues of the heart, pain and worry, because it wasn't her season to move. We must identify the times in the season, like the tribe of Issachar. They are able to identify the time, the timing and the season. That's why God wants to take us to take our yoke upon him and cast it upon him, because his burdens are easy and light. So I want you to look at it like this, the waiting room, the waiting process. And when you're in the waiting room, whether it be at a doctor's place, whether it be at a car place, what are you doing? You're sitting and waiting to be called for your time that you, whether it your appointed time. So say, for instance, you had an appointment at 4:30. That is your appointment time. You may have come early, but you still have to sit and wait because your appointed time has not come. So when they call you, that is your appointed time that they will service you. In the waiting process, it's the most uncomfortable place. But in the waiting process, it increases your faith. It increases your patience. And it's also developing you in your waiting season. We know that God is always, always, always at work, because John 5:16 let us know that God is always at work. Waiting in God not only builds endurance, but it builds faith. And also it gives an invitation for God to speak and move on our behalf at his appointed time. If we look back to the word, God says, surely you shall have a son at the appointed time, at the appointed time. So let's equate this to farmers, and they're waiting on their harvest. So we understand that the ground has to be tilled. The ground has to be tilled. There are certain things that you have to do in the midst of waiting. The ground has to be tilled. And then after the ground is tilled, the seed has to be planted. And after the seed is planted, then it has to be watered. And then after it's watered, it's the waiting process. So the harvest does not just come overnight, but in the midst of waiting, the farmer is working, the farmer is watering, and then what? What does it come? The sun gives light to bring the manifestation up through the ground. I want to say this. Waiting in God brings the promises. I want to say that again. Waiting in God brings the promises. When the Lord was speaking to me, this is what he was saying. He was saying, will you trust me with your case? He said, I am the one that makes the impossible look easy. He said, will you trust me with the details, the intricate details? That means the fine details, the pieces that need to be put together. He said, will you trust me with that? He said, will you trust me with the precious pieces of your life? Will you trust me with everything you need? And in return, my word, trust my word, that it will come to pass. Things too hard for God in your life. Look at your circumstances. Look at the place that you're in. God is still the God of order, and he's still the God of the promise. He when he says it and he speaks it, it's so. It is so. I also want to bring you to this. If we look back in Scripture, we understand about Elizabeth. We understand that even in her case, that she was barren. We understand that the angel of the Lord went out to Zacharias and told Zacharias that he will conceive. The angel was on the scene, and even though the angel was on the scene, Zacharias still couldn't see past the thing, the hard case. He couldn't see past what God was saying to him via the angel Gabriel. We understand that when God steps on the scene or when God sends his word, it shall surely come to pass. We got to understand this, and then we got to understand what she was birthing. What Elizabeth was birthing was what God said in Matthew 11. He was the greatest born from a woman because he was a trailblazer. He was the one to make the way of the Lord. We have to look past what is the hard things, the things that we're going through. We have to look past that and look and see in the eyes of Christ. We need to take off the spiritual cataracts in the realm of the spirit and see that God is trying to take us to a greater height, a greater depth in him. We have to look past that. We look back to Genesis 15. God gave the promise to Abraham, the covenant. We see in chapter 16, they saw the hard case. They saw that age was a barrier. They saw that nothing could come out of this, the hard case, the seemingly hard case. We have to understand that the seemingly hard case is in the human intellect, but in God it's possible. Is there anything to God, any unseemingly impossible circumstances? He's the same God now as he was back then. He is the same God that gave Sarah the promise and that he gives you the promise. His promise shall surely come to pass. The thing about this is we in our waiting process, we want to see the full picture. But God is the God with the full picture. So we have to exercise our faith. We must not faint in a thing called faith. We must endure in faith. God gives all a measure of faith. But if we just have the faith of a mustard seed, have the faith of a mustard seed, God is leading. God is guiding us and moving us toward the path of motion. Motion. I just want to say, have faith. This time, I feel that God is releasing unto his people for us to endure, for us to endure the hard season, endure what it looks like, because God, that's when God can do his greatest work. God can turn that situation around. He says the hard case is already sealed with my approval. the hard case is already sealed with my word of mouth. It's already sealed. He's not a man that shall lie. It shall surely come forth. We have to understand the character of God. Do we know the character of God? This is what the process does. And waiting in the process, it uproots the things that need to be taken off of us. So we know how to handle the promise. So we won't abort the promise. It's just things that needed to build so that we can build an altar, so that we can be working while waiting and be a good steward of the things that God gives us. That's what the waiting process does. God is trying to condition us, to take us where he's trying to take us. He's trying to take us a place that we haven't been before. But we have to intently wait and anticipate and obey the instructions and rest in the bosom of God. We have to have faith. We have to have faith even when we can't trace the movement of God. Trusting God means what? Looking past what we can see and seeing what God sees. I'm going to say that again. Trusting God means looking past what we can see in the natural and seeing what God sees. Trusting and loving God, and knowing that what he has for your life, because we have to understand, what does Jeremiah 29:11 say? I know the plans. So that means when we was, before we knew anything about our calling, before we knew anything we were knew about what we're supposed to do in this lifetime, God already knew. If we look back in Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you when you was formed in your mother womb. So God knew everything about you. He knew every hair on your head. He knew what you were going to do. He knew what he placed on your life. He knew where he was going to take you. He knew that he was going to take you to the marketplace. He knew that he was going to take you to the church system. He knew that he was going to take you to the governmental system. He knew that he was going to use you as a way of influence. He knew that what he was going to do for your life. He knew that you were going to be the one to work in hospitality, because he knew you had a heart to be hospitable. He knew what he was going to do for your life. So if we trust in the promises of God, God is marvelous. He's wonderful. He's majestic. He's perfect in all his ways. Let's look at it like this. When does the situation turn? Not when the promise manifests, but when Jesus steps on the scene. When Jesus gives the word, that's when it starts. That's when the pivotal moment of the waiting season, and then to walk into the promise. Jesus steps on the scene and gives the word, and it's that's when it starts, because the promises are going to come to pass. When we see that many are talking about the situation and how hard it looks and how hard it is, we got to understand that God is a limitless God. We got to take God out of the box. Why we are putting a magnificent God in a box that cannot contain him? God steps out of time in this dispensation of time and says, I am God. Time does not stop me. You look at the time, you look at the calendar. That does not stop God. God said, I am still moving. I am still moving on your behalf. I have you. Look to me. Don't look to the circumstance. The circumstances is there, but have I left you? Have I forsaken you? I am still with you. Look to God. That's who is the source, not the resource. Look to God, who is the leader of your life. Look to God, that he shall bring you through. Look to God. I want you to follow me here. We see in Isaiah 64:8, it talks about how we are the clay and God is the potter. And we are all the work of his hand. So when we are the clay, we are being molded. We are being shaped. We are being put on the wheel. And we are going through the fire to bring out this beautiful masterpiece. Because what is it? The process. It's the clay being formed in the hands of the Lord. It's being molded, crafted, and shaped. And then it has to go through the fire for it to be strong, for it to be hard, and for it to be able to fulfill the purpose that it was made for. So when we're being molded, we are being made excellent in the craftsmanship of the Father. So when I was speaking with the Lord, God was saying, my daughter, my son, I am shaping you. I am shaping you. I am recalibrating you. I am doing some things in your life. I am taking off the old. I am taking off the old mask, the stench of wearing the mask for too long because it has become familiar with the form of your attire. He says, take off the things that are hurting us. We have intently put on ourselves or we have intently held onto. In order to reap the promise, I have to condition you. I have to condition you for the promise. I have to set some things in order. I have to take off the residue of old. I have to change how you see things and change how you view things. I have to change your language that you no longer review it in the religious form and fashion, but you review it in the things of me, that you turn and look towards me. He said, I change it not. I'm building your endurance in me. I'm causing you to unlearn some things that you have been doing for years. Some things we've been doing looks right to us, but it's not what's right to God. It's the religious way. Who are the religious? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. We have to look at it this way. He said, I'm making some things uncomfortable. I'm taking you out of your complacent moment. I'm taking you out of your lax moment where you just become comfortable in the situation because it's greater. There's greater. He said, I am aligning you for my divine plan and turning it in for your favor. God is causing us to, in this moment, in this time, where we feel the weight of it. We feel the heaviness of it. But he said to look to his word, that he's calling us to die to our flesh, to carry our cross. He said, drink of me. I am the Father. Drink of my living well. Drink of me that I overflow in you as you wait. It's his word. It shall never come void. The promises of God are already prophetically aligned for our lives, and it will come to pass. We got to understand that when we can't see God, he's still doing what he does. He's God. He's our Father. He's our Papa. Will his words for our lives come to pass? We look at it like this. Many people, our friends, our family, have made promises to us. They have made promises to pay us back. They have made promises to come help us cook. They have made promises to come see about us in our sick bed. But it's not that they intently didn't want to fulfill the promise they made, but we got to understand that they're human. But God is all-knowing God and his promises. If he said, I'm going to be there, he said, I'll even be there if you make your bed in hell. So God is with us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. Listen, I want you to understand this. If God gave the promises, but will you come fully into agreement with God to see the manifestation of your life? I want to say that again. God already spoke it. God, the gavel of heaven already written down. But will you come into agreement with God to see the manifestation of your life, of the promise? The timing of God, women and men of God, is sure. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. I want to give you this analogy of an anchor. So what does an anchor do on a boat? It stabilizes the boat. So if they need to come for a stop, it stabilizes. And that's how we need to be in God. We need to be anchored in God. And sometimes what does a boat do? It sits upon the water and just rests. We need to rest in the bosom of God. Just rest. Rest in God. If you look back over your life, the past or present, and you look back at some things we have made petition God for, and we didn't see it right away, but God, at the perfect time, we see that God gave us even better or gave us even more than we've been asking for. Let me say it like this. Faith and worry does not correspond with faith. Faith and worry don't correspond. It's either you have faith or you have worry. And worry is not of God, so we have to pull out worry, pull out fear, pull out anxiety, pull it out and cast it at the feet. He said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. In spite of what it looks like, we have to stand on the promises of God. We have to understand that God's promises have no expiration date. It shall surely come to pass. the greatest thing that I liked about the scripture was Sarah and Abraham didn't understand what God was doing in the wait. He understood what God said, that they will become a father and mother of the nation. He understood that. He understood that he was going to be birthing out Isaac, but they had to look at the bigger thing, that they were going to become a father and mother of the nation, known as the promise. God is shaping us for the appointed time, the appointed time. We have to look back that even though Sarah rushed the process with Ishmael, that wasn't the promise. The promise was Isaac. That was the appointed time. And we see that in chapter 17, God changed their name. Listen to that. God changed their names. So she went from Sarai to Sarah. And he went from Abram to Abraham. So when God gives you the promise, or he shifts your name, you're no longer the same because you have walked into the fruition of what God promised you. God is changing our names. He's changing our garments. I want to admonish you to take your hands off what God is doing. I want to admonish you to stop looking at the hard case as a hard case, but look at it as God is with you. He's leading the way. I want to say this. Just as Sarah laughed in chapter 21, we're going to laugh too. God is going to bring it into fruition. God's promises for our life is going to come to pass. We shall laugh with laughter. God wants us to come up higher. He said, there's more I require of you. There's more that I require you in your waiting process. It may look hard. It may look like it's not going to shift. We understand that the doctors may have said, this is impossible. But God is the supreme doctor, and it's possible for God. We may have looked at the times that the Lord said, oh, this is a hard case. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. But God is the chief lawyer, and it's possible. For every time man said no, God said, it's possible. I want to prophesy today that we shall laugh. We shall see the promises of God. We shall see what God says in the eyes of Christ. Anything the enemy has said is rendered null and void. The promise of our God are yea and amen. He's with us. He's guiding us. We've been waiting for the increase. We've been waiting for the next level. We've been waiting to come out of this place. I believe in this moment, in this time, that God is giving us witty inventions. God is giving us more. He's increasing our capacity in this season. We have to understand that God is the God of the 11th hour. What is the 11th hour? The 11th hour is the last moment before anything, before the ending. And we see that God moved in the 11th hour in Matthew 20. So God is never late. He knows what he's doing. He knows everything that he's doing. I just want you to listen to these three words. Wait. So when we wait, we intently wait for God's instruction. We're waiting on what God wants us to do. And then I want you to listen to this. Work and then ship. Work. So we as believers, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to fulfill the great commission. We need to be working in this moment. What did God do? When God found his disciples, what were they doing? We have to be doing the work of the Father. We have to be interceding and worshiping God. Because anything without prayer and seeking the Father is illegal. Nothing is birthed out through prayer. If it's birthed out any other means, it's illegal in the realm of the spirit. And it's not. It's not known by God. It's known by a legal source. We have to be intimate with the Father and steal away. What did Moses do when he was in his waiting scene? He waited for the instructions. He stealed away. What did Jesus do after he performed miracles, after he performed signs, after he fed the 5,000? What did he do? He stealed away and he waited and he communed with his Father. That's what we have to do. And then watch. Pray and seek. We have to watch to see the manifestation. We have to watch and begin to see God restore the breach. We have to watch and wait and see God continue to move. We have to watch and wait for God to use his people mightily. We have to watch and see God make a way. We have to watch and see that God is for us. I just want you guys to know that we have to wait in God, and God knows the plans that he has for us. He knows the hard case cannot stop God. The impossible case cannot stop God, because God said, I have the blueprint. That's what he said. I have the blueprint. I know. Trust me with the promises. And everything in our life will line up. And I just thank God for everything. And I know, I just want to say this real quick. No matter what you're facing, no matter what it seems like, I just feel this strongly, that God is going to move for you. Don't become weary in what it looks like. Don't become hurt and sad and depressed in what it looks like. Man and woman of God, whoever you are, wherever you are, come up in your faith. Come up, because God is with you. He's rooting for you. No matter what the enemy tried to do, put depression, put doubt upon you, try to use the python spirit to suck the life out of you, I decree and declare over your life now, in this moment, in this season, in this dispensation of time, that God is removing it. God is moving on your behalf. Don't look what it looks like. God is moving on your behalf. Come up now in the name of Jesus. No matter what it looks like, God has you in his hand. He has you in his hand, and he loves you. He loves you. And just know that God's promises are yea and amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that word, woman of God. And this goes to what Pastor Douglas always says. Stay in position and stay in place. You were so on point with that this morning, and we thank you for giving out what God gave you to give to his people. We're going to pray for you before we go, but let them know how to get in contact with you if they want you to come speak, or if they want to hear from you, or if they just want to talk to you personally. How can they contact you?
My Facebook is Shekinah Glory, God's Precious Gift Heal. You can also go on my website at IamShekinahJoy.com. Yes, and all my information is on there. My P.O. box is on there. So if you want to get in contact with me, you can also send an email to thebirthingprayerchambers@gmail.com. And you can also send a email to ShekinahJoyMinistries@gmail.com, and I will reply back. Amen.
All right, Pastor Douglas.
Amen. Amen. Woman of God, I was just sitting there, and I was just blown away by just listening to what you were saying this morning. I was like, oh, my God. You know, one of the things the Lord has been dealing with me with for the last few months has been process, progress, and prevail. And you said, boy, that when you said the process, and you just begin to talk about the process, I said that, I said, oh my God, I said, this is what you've been telling me, this is what you've been showing me about us being in that place and in position to allow the process to just work through. So many times we try to push the process before the process can be completed, or push the process before the process is even done, you know, so we end up walking into places and doing things and operating in mindsets that we shouldn't be operating in, and we'll mess around there and we'll mess some stuff up. So I'm sitting there listening, I'm like, oh my God, I said, she was just really just on it. And I this is what I heard for you from the Lord telling me to tell you. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver you out of them all. There are things that the enemy has tried to put on your life. There are places that the enemy tried to put into your mindset and tried to make you fall and fold and give in. He said, but many are the afflictions of the righteous. He said, but God has delivered, is going to deliver you out of them all. He said, because you were faithful in this process, God says, I will make you prevail. You will prevail in this. The enemy wanted to make you throw in the towel. The enemy wanted to make you just say, I don't want to do this no more. The enemy wanted to tell you that you didn't have no more power, had no more strength to keep on going. But the Lord said, in this process that you're in, he said, I am going to bring you into the place where I promised you. I'm going to move you into the place where I promised you. He said, I am going to open up the windows of heaven. And he said, I'm going to pour what I said I'm going to pour into your life. He said, everything that you desire, everything that you've been looking for, everything that you've been holding on for, everything that you've been calling on his name for, he said, in this season that you're in, because you did not fold in the process, he said, I am going to pour into your life. I was listening to a song this morning, and the Lord brought it to my mind. It's a prophetic song that's sung by a prophet. And I was sitting there, it was at the end of his message, and he said, the song said, it says, he did more than I ever expected. He said, that is what's going to be mine. God, he said, that is what's going to be your word for this season that you're getting ready to walk into, is he did more than I could ever expect it. He did more. He's going to blow your mind in this season that you're getting ready to walk into. He's just to unfold some things. He's just to expose some people. He's just to release some people. He's just to put some people into your life that belong. He said, I'm going to close the door on a whole bunch of stuff that I told you that I'm going to close the door on. He said, I promised you some stuff. He said, I told you it was going to be some stuff that I needed to shift and change. He said, I did already. He said, I already spoken into existence. He said, you shall live in this one. He said, you shall not die. He said, this thing right here was meant to try to kill you. He said, but I told you in the past when I spoke to you, wait a minute, God, 6 months ago. He said, when I spoke this thing to you 6 months ago, I told you that this wasn't going to kill you. He said, I'm just bringing it to your remembrance. I ain't going to let this kill you. He said, ride the process. He said, just ride the process out, woman. Woman, God, ride the process out. He said, ride the process out. He said, because at the end of this, the more that I expected is going to happen in your life. He said, just start decreeing that everywhere you go, he's going to do more than I ever, Shia, my God, he did more than I ever could have expected. He said, this season, he said, in this season, my God, he said, in this season, you shall reap if you faint not. He said, you too, my God, he said, you too close to walking into your blessing for you to throw in the towel. Because you preach the message. You preached the message, but the message was actually for you. God says that, he said, hold on. He said, you done went through all of that you done went through. All the heartache, the pain, the letdown, the talking about, the time they done ran your name through the mud, the time they told you that the ministry that you got ain't no real ministry. Come on here. Am I talking to the right person this morning? He said this morning to tell you that all you got to do is stay in position and stay in place. He said, I got you. I'm going to make this shanamando. He said, I'm going to make that thing work for your good. He said, I'm opening up doors. I hear you, Holy Ghost. He said, I'm opening up heaven to God. God, this is the first time you've ever told me this. He said, I'm opening up heavenly doors for you. He said, I got to open up some heavenly doors because it got some demon doors. Come on here. It got some demonic doors that's been opened that had your name attached to it. But God, he said, I'm opening up some heavenly doors because I'm going to dispatch some heavenly things so you can battle these demonic doors. He said, I'm supposed to work this thing out for your good. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet.
And let me come back for what Apostle just said. The Lord said, go on a 3-day fast. And the very last thing you ask for, watch him bring it right to pass, right in front of the very ones who said you couldn't get it because you wasn't equipped to get it. You wasn't going to handle it right. But he said, give him 3 days on the fast. And watch him work that thing out for you.
That's confirmation. yes, that's confirmation. After Thanksgiving, I was going to go on the 3-day fast because that was the instructions that the Lord gave me.
As the apostle was talking, the Lord kept telling me that 3 days, tell her 3 days, 3 days to fast and give me completely her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Not saying
yes.
You don't. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying specifically what he told me to tell you. And watch that very thing work, what he's going to work out for you.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. There are places that God has promised you that you are going to go. There are people that God, oh my God.
Yes.
There are stars. There are stars that God said he's going to put you in front of. He said he's going to put you in the front of actors. That God, I don't know if you got anything to do within your mindset. Have you ever thought about being in the television, agreeing on television or anything like that?
Come on, you are in the vein. These are all confirmation.
God says he's just started putting you before people. He said, because your face needs to be on TV, woman of God.
This is confirmation.
He said, the realness of who you are in the spirit needs to be on TV. He said, he's just a big step for you.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord. He said, I hadn't forgot about that one yet. He said, I hadn't forgot about that promise. See, this was something that you saw in the beginnings of ministry.
He said, I
forgot about that one. He said, I'm going to put all this together.
Amen.
He said, it took you going through the process. He said, because I had to weed some stuff out of you.
Yes.
He had to pull some people from you.
Come on.
Because the higher you went, the higher you went in the spirit.
Come
the
on.
Altitude, the air got thin. Everybody can't survive in that air.
Come on.
That's up there. So he had to weave them out. So when they start losing their breath and start dropping off, God said, this is the shift that I promised you. He said, and it shall be so in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That's all I got.
Amen.
That's all I got.
Amen. Again, thank you so much for coming on and being obedient. And that's what we're supposed to do. Iron sharpens iron, and we stand on that completely. No shade on anybody, but Apostle and I stand on that completely. Iron sharpens iron and support. And that's what we're supposed to do as being in the body of Christ. Again, I thank you so very much for taking the time out, coming on here, and giving what thus saith the Lord. It means a lot to us and to the countries because you're being listened to in 13 countries. So we thank you for coming on and blessing people with the word that they needed to hear this morning. You know, I'm a call away if you need me. No hesitation. You have a blessed and phenomenal day. And know that we are here.
Amen. God bless.
Too many storms have passed your way, and you're all washed out, cause it rained on your parade. Seems nobody cares about you anyway. Now you're living your life like a castaway. Search for strength and find, was it all in vain? Cause the deeper you dig, you find more and more pain. Don't let your tomorrow be like yesterday, cause I spoke to God, called out your name, and on your behalf, I just asked if he would be there for you. I want you to be blessed, come live life in this stress, just let go, let God, he'll work it out for you. to live a lie. Never have to wonder why. Never want for nothing. You're always satisfied in the peace that his arms will provide. He will erase any guilt or shame, any bad habit you got. You won't want to do them again. Yes, we all can change. I can testify. See, I spoke to God. I called out your name. And on your behalf, I just asked if he would be there.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Listen, guys, we're going to go into our Overcomer Scripture and Overcomer's Prayer on this morning. We're going to do it a little bit different this morning. Let us go into the scripture, and then we'll go into the part where the Lord has showed me what we're going to do. The Overcomer Scripture is Romans 10 and 9, and it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus died and that he rose again, you will be saved. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, I want to decree this thing over your life on this morning. I want to decree this thing over your life this morning. I want to decree this over your life this morning because I understand that in this Thanksgiving season, we come to a place to where those that are looking for a shift in their life. This is the perfect time. This is the perfect time for you to go into that mindset set of I'm going to shift. I'm going to change the way I see things. I'm going to change the way I do things. I'm going to change the way I respond and react to my situations and to situations that goes on in my life. So this is the opportunity. This is a chance for you to walk there into that new blessing, that new mindset that God is offering to you this morning through this opportunity of the Overcomer's Prayer and Overcomer's Scripture. Now, those of you all that are out there would say, Pastor Douglas, well, listen, I didn't backslid. I didn't be out of church for so long. I don't know what to do. I got you covered on that one, too. The ones that said, well, Pastor Douglas, I've been sinned. I've fell into some sinful things. I've been some sinful things. I've operated in some sinful ways in my life. You know, I don't know. I got you on that one, too. Don't worry about it. Well, Pastor Douglas, I've been inside the church, and I made some mistakes while I was in the church, and that's the reason why I'm not in church no more. I got you on that one too. I'm gonna help you. Listen, this is the purpose for the Overcomer Scripture, for in the Overcomer's Prayer, for you to overcome the thing that the enemy sought that he could use for you to use as a weapon against you to keep you from saying that I'm going to overcome this place. I'm going to rise above where I am. I'm not going to let this thing that I'm in right now keep me from seeing what God promised me that I was going to see. Now let me bless you to your blessed place. Let me push you to your purpose and drive you to your destiny right quick. We're going to pray. And when we pray, I just want you to receive the prayer that we're praying. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. It's not difficult at all. Just pray and receive what God is giving to you in the prayer, in the motion of prayer. Amen. In the motion of prayer, in the mindset of prayer. So here we go. Okay. So just surrender your hearts this morning to the Lord. Surrender your hearts to the Lord this morning. Surrender your mind. Surrender. But just lift your hands by just lifting your hands in a state of surrender. I'm surrendering my all to you. And we're going to pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for these, your precious vessels, God, that have been presented and set before us today to intercede and pray for. God, we pray today, God, that you would move by your power and by your strength. God, as they come in the mindset and that mentality of surrendering to you on today, God, our prayer, God, is that you move, God, mightily in their lives. As they surrender unto you, God, they make the confession that they believe in their heart and they confess with their mouth that Jesus died and was raised, and they are now saved. Father, we thank you for them being saved. The backslider is saved. God, the one that slipped out and left and is no longer in the church, God, he is saved. God, the sinner is now saved. God, everyone that is under the sound of my voice that desire to be saved in you, God, we pray for them today as they make that decree, God, and they cross over from the place that they were into the place that they are right now, God, that it is in your safety, in your care. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus do we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, those of you all who have crossed over and came into your fullness of joy of who God is in your life and where God is in your life right now. Listen, we just want to tell you welcome to the body of Christ. Welcome to the body of Christ. We got three keys that we want to share with you this morning. Get you a Bible. Get you a Bible, because in this walk, you're going to need the Word. The Word is going to be your anchor. The woman of God talked about the anchor. That's going to be your anchor. anchor. That word is your anchor. The next thing you know you need to do, get you a good church on. The pandemic is crazy. So those of you all who desire to go to churches, make sure you do the social distancing, make sure you masked up, but visit a church, couple of churches to find out if this is a church for you. Now, the Abba House International is going viral every Sunday and every Tuesday at 7 on Tuesdays and at 10:15 on Sundays on services. And those of you all who would like to be a part of the Abba House, please feel free to like the Abba House page, hit the link, and just send us a messenger, through messenger saying that you want to be a part of the Abba House. And guess what? We'll go ahead on and we will give you the right hand of fellowship over the phone. We'll invite you in over the phone and just have you to want you to become a part and be a part of the family. Amen. So that's an option for you there. Now, also, with those three, you have to know that person's life, that person that you're connecting with in the spirit. Know that person. The Bible says, the Bible says it like this here, try the spirit and see if it be of God. It never tells us try the spirit by the spirit, because we can't try spirit by spirit, but we got to try the spirit and see if it be of God. Watch this here. You can look at the life that we live and you can see that the spirit of the Lord is with us. So if you decide to make that decision, to transition, to come over, make sure that you're looking at that person's spirit of their life and how their life and their life line up with the word and the will of God as they do the work of the Lord. Amen. The next and most important thing is, once you do that, pray. Pray. We gave you three keys. I want to give you something else. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray on everything. Pray for every situation. Pray and let the Lord lead you to the direction that you need to go in. Amen. Amen. Listen, remember those of you all who would like to be a part of the blanket drive. We have a blanket drive that is going on with the Abba House and with the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Those of you all who would like to be a part of that, inbox us through either the Worldwide Gospel Connection, or you can inbox us through the Abba House International. Also, you guys that are listening in, that's what would like to be, you could also go to the two web addresses as well. We have Worldwide Gospel Connection at gmail.com, and then we have the Abba House International at gmail.com. You can connect to us on either of those four platforms and let us know. Now, those of you all who would like to be a blessing to the Abba House or to the Worldwide Gospel Connection, you could do so by going to your Cash App and click on your Cash App. And on your Cash App, you could click in and you can go to WGC 2020. WGC 2020, $The Abba House, $WGC 2020, or $The Abba House, to sow into the ministry. Those of you all who would like to be a part of the blanket drive, you said, well, Pastor Douglas, I don't know, I just want to just sow. Well, you can just sow and we'll purchase the blankets for you. We'll purchase the blankets for you that want to be a part of the blanket drive as well. You can sow into those two Cash Apps. Thank you guys so very much for being a part of today's broadcast. We love you so much. We love you so much. And we're just excited when you come alongside of us and share in what the goodness of the Lord and what he's doing in this life and this hour in our life today. We thank you, and we want to say happy Thanksgiving to you. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your time with one another. You remember small gatherings, ladies and gentlemen, small gatherings. You can FaceTime them and tell them happy Thanksgiving. You can FaceTime them and tell them happy Thanksgiving. If you just got to see them, you can FaceTime them. Amen. A simple phone call will suffice. God bless you. I love you. We're thinking about you. Happy Thanksgiving. You know, we could do that. We could do that. Amen. So remember, be safe out there. Those of y'all who are going out, be careful and be safe. Enjoy your family. Enjoy one another and enjoy this day. You guys have a great day, and we thank you for listening and being a part of the Worldwide Gospel Connection on this morning, and we hope that something was said or done in this hour that blessed you and that gave you some hope. That gave you some hope today. And we know that all things work together for the good of the Lord and who is called according to his purpose. And remember, he is able.
Exceedingly abide.